Right now, we're going to get things started with Barry Manilow. Born and raised in Brooklyn, educated at City College and Juilliard, New York's own Barry Manilow is going to be honored in his hometown by the New York Pops. It is a double celebration. The event is called This One's For You, The Music of Barry Manilow. And the Grammy, Tony, and Emmy Award-winning singer, his catalog of hits will be performed in celebration with the New York Pops' 40th anniversary. Performers include Dionne Warwick, Norm Lewis, Jim Caruso, and many more stars of stage and screen. And then, after that, Barry Manilow will perform a run of shows at Radio City Music Hall from May 31st to June 4th. And when those of you who follow us on social media learned that Barry was going to be a guest today, you sent along a few messages. Lynn said, "I've been a fan for over 40 years. One of my most memorable moments was midnight with Manilow in Vegas when he brought all of his collaborators and friends together in one room and shared so many great stories with the fans." Heart emoji. Blenheim Palace is the heart of the English countryside. 1983, glorious sunny day, best night ever. That's from Lisa. Dory Burke wrote, "Way back to Barry at the Wang for four nights in Boston, not only did I see all four shows, but as a local fan club member, we decorated his dressing room, left goodies, etc. Ah, youth. Those were the days. Still a fan, though, almost 40-plus years later." And Mel B. told us, "My mom took me to see Barry for my first concert on November 2nd, 1982 in Binghamton, New York. I was 14 years old. Started a lifelong love of his music. I've seen him in concerts 55 to 60 times over the years, seeing him for the second time this year in June at Radio City Music Hall." Joining me now to preview his upcoming shows and talk about his very distinguished career is Barry Manilow. Hi, Barry.
Hi. Wow. What an intro. Gee. That was great, Allison. Great.
Good. I'm glad it. You deserve it. You deserve it. How does it feel to be honored by the New York Pops? You've performed with them over the years. How does it feel to be honored with them as opposed to collaborating?
Yeah. But, you know, I've never been honored. I've never had anything like that happen. I mean, I've gotten awards periodically, but I've never had a whole evening of people singing songs that have meant so much to me. This is the first time anyone has ever done that for me. So I'm thrilled. I can't wait.
When you perform with an organization like the New York Pops, what's unique about that experience?
Well, you know, I've got some spectacular orchestrations that I've used for albums, but 78 musicians playing this music that has meant so much to me, I just don't know whether I'll make it through the night because, you know, this music has meant so much to me that hearing these wonderful singers backed by 78 great New York musicians, it's going to just be wild and just a great, great experience.
Are you a crier when when you get emotional?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, this might do it. This might do it for me. I better bring the Kleenex.
Yeah, make sure you've got Kleenex on hand. You know, when you see just a group of people come together like this, your duet partners like Dionne Warwick and Melissa Manchester, love her. What do you hear in your music when you hear these people who have been longtime collaborators that maybe you don't think about on a normal day, but when you hear someone with whom you've worked a long time singing your songs, what do you hear in your songs?
What I'm hoping to, these are great singers, is that they find the truth in each song. Melissa is doing I Am Your Child, which I wrote for my very first album. And it's a sweet little song, and it means a lot. It means a lot to the audience, and it means a lot to me. And I can't think of a better person. Melissa called me and said, I want to do this, and I want to do I Am Your Child. So that means she's gonna kill. But you know what I'm really looking forward to? Because I couldn't find anybody that I wanted to do Copacabana. So I called Stephen, who is the head of the New York Pops, and Stephen Reinecke, and I said, could you see whether you could get Charo to do Copacabana? And he called, and she said, I'd love to do it. So I'm looking forward to that moment.
The world may stop for those 4 minutes. It may stop turning. It may need to.
You're right.
Charo, you're right. Doing Copacabana? That's the best thing I've heard all day.
I mean, it was just a fantasy. I never thought that she'd say yes, but I'm so happy that she did.
You know, there's a good life lesson in that, Barry. You should just ask for what you want sometimes. You never know.
Yeah. Yeah, and you never know. You're absolutely right.
My guest is Barry Manilow. This One's for You, the music of Barry Manilow, will be the New York Pops 40th Anniversary Gala on May 1st. You produced Dionne Warwick's 1979 album, Dionne, co-wrote two of the songs on it, including All the Time. Let's listen to a little bit of that.
All the time I thought there's only me. Great. No one else could be. I would have given everything I own if someone would have said, you're not alone. All the time I thought that I was wrong, wanting to be me, but needing to belong. I had just believed in all I had. Someone would have said, you're not so bad.
Feel right interrupting Dionne and that Dionne Warwick and that interpretation. Oh my goodness. When you think about what makes someone a good interpreter of a Barry Manilow song, what does that singer need to have? What brings on a good interpretation of your music?
Well, you know, I've been lucky. I've worked with some of the finest lyricists over my career. And so for me, yes, I'm the melody guy. But when somebody sings the songs that I've introduced, it really is about crawling into the lyric of the song that is the most important for me. And what you just heard was Dionne crawling into this wonderful song called All the Time. She's going to do that at Carnegie Hall in a week.
That's spectacular. You put out an album called My Dream Duets, featuring songs with singers who are no longer with us, Cass Elliott, Whitney Houston, Louis Armstrong. What was the inspiration for that duets record?
Well, everybody was doing duets and during those months. And so I made a list of the people that I would always want to sing with. And when I looked at the list, they were all dead. So I'm, technology has come so far that we were able to take their voices off of their old records, and I was able to put a new orchestration and sing with them, and that's my dream duets. And it sounds like I'm standing next to John Denver, or next to Whitney, or next to Andy Williams, and all these people that I've always wanted to sing with on my dream duets. It was a dream.
What's a memorable duet from your career of someone who is not in the Beyond?
I did a great version of Islands in the Stream with Reba McEntire, and oh boy, that was a fun afternoon.
Huh. Are you someone who listens to country music regularly?
I do not. I stopped listening to pop music too. I'm a melody guy.
Mm-hmm.
And when the melody finally comes back, I will turn the radio back on. But the melody seems to have gone away. I mean, it's still making great records, but it's all about rhythm right now. And as much as I love rhythm, I'm looking for a great melody and a great lyric. And, you know, the times change, and I think it'll come back.
My guest is Barry Manilow. This one's for you. The music of Barry Manilow, the New York Pop's 40th birthday gala on May 1st. We're going to go to break with one of those duets that's got great melody from someone that Barry mentioned earlier. This is Barry Manilow and Melissa Manchester. You've Got a Friend. More with Barry after a quick break.
Close your eyes and think of me. And soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. Sweet Melissa, you just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you've got to do is call, and I'll be there. You've got a friend.
You're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. My guest is Barry Manilow. This one's for you. The music of Barry Manilow will be in celebration with the New York Pop's 40th birthday gala on May 1st. And then Barry will be at Radio City Music Hall May 31st through June 4th. So I think really big fans of yours, Barry, know. And maybe they can hear it in your accent still a little bit, that you are a New Yorker, born and raised in Brooklyn. Got your start
right
in New York City. What is something that remains Brooklyn about you? We're WNYC. We're New Yorkers. We want to hear.
I talk fast. And, New Yorkers, we talk fast. And you know, maybe it was because we had a struggle to get a seat on the subway. But, I always have to remind myself when I go out into the middle of the country in concert, I got to slow down. These people are not going to understand what I'm talking about. But when I get to New York, please, I can do whatever I want.
What was some of the music you were exposed to as a kid in Williamsburg that really, you know, shaped you as a musician?
Well, in the beginning, you know, they knew I was musical, but they had no money, and they didn't know what to do with me. But when my mother remarried and she brought home Willie Murphy, who was a truck driver, he was the brightest guy I'd ever met, and he loved music. And he brought with him a little stereo system that I thought was, oh, my God, it was heaven. And he brought with him a stack of albums that may as well have been a stack of gold for me, because I'd never heard stuff like this. It was classical music, it was jazz, it was Broadway, it was even pop stuff, and I memorized everything on those albums. And then when they threw out my accordion, please, and they got me a little piano, as soon as I hit the keys on the piano, I knew that music was going to be my life.
Do you remember the moment or the era when you thought, oh, this is going to work, I'm going to be able to do this for a living?
Yeah. As soon as I hit the keys on the piano, I knew it. That was it. I knew that the first thing I did was form a band, and from forming my band on, it was nothing but music.
For folks who don't know this, you were a jingle writer for a while, correct?
I was, and it was great. I mean, you know, I did go to college for music, mm-hmm. but really I learned more about pop music and studio work during those few years doing jingles than anything, because those musicians, these wonderful musicians in New York, really taught me how to orchestrate, and making commercials. I learned how to be in the recording studio with the engineers, and I learned so much during those years writing jingles. And then, you know, jingles, you've got to write the most catchiest melody in 15 seconds. And if you don't write the catchiest melodies, another guy's going to get that commercial. And so that was really important when I got to the pop music, because pop music is exactly the same. You've got to write a catchy melody for a pop song. And so that was a very, very important couple of years for me.
Well, the proof's in the pudding. For people who don't know, Barry Manilow wrote the State Farm jingle. Take a listen.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And also Band-Aid.
I am stuck on Band-Aid rag, cause Band-Aid stuck on me.
I am stuck on Band-Aid, cause Band-Aid stuck on me.
To your point, in 10 seconds, you got us. Were there any jingles?
You know, that they've been playing that State Farm insurance commercial for nearly over 40 years. Over 40 years, it's my greatest hit.
Never thought about it that way. Is there any jingle that you've often heard that you didn't write that you think, that's a good jingle, that person nailed it?
Oh, yeah, you deserve a break today, so get up and get away to McDonald's. I mean, that one started the whole thing off about big, catchy commercials. That McDonald's commercial started the whole thing off.
There you go. We were talking about Copacabana a little bit earlier, and I read somewhere that you and your partner, Bruce Sussman, you really thought it would just be a novelty cut.
Yeah, we did. We did. We had no idea that that song would turn out to be what it turned out to be. You know, when I produced the record with Ron Dante, and we loved it. And just for fun, we took the record to a disco one night, and they put it on, and everybody ran to the dance floor and pretended they were in the 1940s, and they were dipping each other and swooping all over. And I looked at Ron, I said, maybe we're onto something here. So, but who could have possibly predicted that?
Let's take a listen to Copacabana.
Her name was Lola. She was a showgirl with yellow feathers in her hair and a dress cut down her there. She would merengue and do the cha-cha. And while she tried to be a star, Tony always tended bar across the crowded floor. They worked from 8 till 4. They were young and they had each other. Who could ask for more at the Copa? Copacabana. Were always the fashion at the Copa. fell in love.
That took me back to my teen years in New Jersey. It just takes you back to where you were the first time you heard that song.
Yeah. You know, Coppola was really the novelty cut on that album, because I used to do novelty cuts on all the albums. Mm-hmm. Either it was a fast jazz piece or Bandstand Boogie, the Clark TV show. So every album had one of those, and Coppola was going to be that spot in that album. But we really never thought that it would be a hit song.
My guest is Barry Manilow. This One's for You, the music of Barry Manilow, the New York Pop's 40th birthday gala, will be on May 1st. And I understand it's going to feature the cast of your musical Harmony, which was about a 1930s German vocal group, which ran last spring at the Museum of Jewish Heritage. Now, according to the New York Times, you've been working on that project for 25 years. Where did the idea first begin?
Yeah, Bruce and I started when we were 13 or 14. Kidding. It's a great story. It's a great story. And it's a great show. And we had a ball down at the Yiddish Museum. And it was deep. I mean, the show is funny and wonderful and very moving. And it all worked down there. But yes, we've been working on it for very many years. And, you know, we mounted it periodically during those last 25 years, and we always got great reviews. But the producers were scared to put something like that on. Mm-hmm. They would much rather have produced a Wicked or, you know, something that sounded like a big hit. This one, I guess, didn't sound like a big hit to the producers. So we were always struggling with that. But Bruce and I believed in it for all those years, and finally, when we got to New York, we hit it.
Why was this a story that you think really needed to be told?
Well, for us, I mean, it was a musical story as well as a deep story about the Holocaust. I mean, it's not a story about the Holocaust, but it just goes nearly to the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. It's a story about six guys that were called the Comedian Harmonists. They were very, very good. They were a combination of the Manhattan Transfer and the Marx Brothers. They were funny and very, very musical. And they were huge. I mean, huge in Germany and all around Europe. And they even played Carnegie Hall, by the way. And we thought that their story was really compelling because we don't know them. We never heard of them. They were so huge. How come we never heard of them? And, well, our story tells you why we never heard of them.
I wanted to ask you about Bruce Sussman. I mean, you've worked with him for so long. What do you bring out in each other as collaborators?
Gee, that's a good question. What do we bring out in each other? Well, Bruce is really a smart guy. And, you know, Bruce should be a Broadway songwriter, and that's what Harmony is. But I dragged him into the pop world, and he writes some beautiful, beautiful lyrics that are pop lyrics. And he hates doing it, but he does it beautifully.
When you say he hates doing it, what do you mean?
Well, you know, he'd much rather write lyrics about situations. And you don't really write situations in pop music. You write, I love you or I miss you. And that's it. That's all you got. I love you or I miss you. And you got to figure out a million ways to say, I love you or I miss you. But, you know, in Broadway, you can write about that lamp, or you can write about, you know, walking down the street. You can't do that in pop music. So that's why it's more difficult for somebody like Bruce to write a pop song and a little easier to write about a situation.
Harmony, by the way, is nominated for Outstanding Musical and for Choreography at the Lucille Lortel Awards, which are happening on May 7th. Are there any plans for it for the future?
Yeah, we're just waiting for a theater to open up, and we're coming in this year. Yeah.
Barry Manilow is my guest. I want to remind people he'll be at Radio City Music Hall May 31st through June 4th. So that's a week run of shows. Do you switch things up when you perform at Radio City Music Hall, or do you have your plan and you stay with it?
I've got an idea for a couple of surprises, and I don't want to give it away because it may not happen, but I've got a couple of ideas for some surprises from my New York friends.
Excellent. You're about to have a birthday, a pretty big birthday. It'll happen shortly
oh,
after.
Oh, stop. Don't remind me of that.
Oh,
really,
Barry, 50's not that bad.
Birthday.
50, it's not that bad.
I'm terrified of this. I am. I'm terrified of this birthday.
Oh, there's no reason to be. It's just another spin around the sun. You've become wiser.
Listen, I'm so healthy. I look pretty good. I don't have a big pot belly or a bald head. And I still run around like I did 30 years ago. So, no, I'm not, it doesn't seem like I'm actually getting to that age. But when you say the number, please. Don't say the number. Okay. But it just is terrifying to me, because it's a blank slate. My whole family died in their 70s. Well, now what? Mm-hmm. What am I going to get when that happens?
Well, how do you take care of yourself and your voice?
Well, myself, I try to eat. Well, I'm not a food person. I just don't like to eat. But I try to eat healthy, and I work out every day. Mm-hmm. I do. I work 5 days a week. So my body looks pretty good. We're doing shows every, in Vegas, and that keeps me running around the stage and up and down stairs on the stage. And, I'm in pretty good shape. I really am. I'm in pretty good shape. Somebody told me that that number that I won't say is today's 60 or 70. So that's, I like that.
I'm on board with that. Sharp as a tack. Please, come on. Last year you told 1010 Winds your favorite song to perform is Could It Be Magic from your first album. Why is that one special to you?
Well, I based it on the Chopin Prelude in C minor. I was very young when I did that. It lasted 8 minutes on the record. I didn't know you were supposed to write a 2.5 minute record to get it on the radio. Mine lasted for 8 minutes. So of course nobody played it. But then, there were some DJs around the country who did love Could It Be Magic in the 8 minute version. And so they kept playing it. And so the record company edited it down to 3 minutes. And people really turned out to like Could It Be Magic. And I'm very happy with Could It Be Magic. What Chopin did was gorgeous. And then I took it a little further.
Are there any songs that you're happy to retire, shall we say?
No. Honestly, no. And I've been singing. No, because I look out at the audience. They're so happy. They're so happy when I'm doing these songs. And I'm doing it for them. I'm not doing it for me.
And Barry, you're a professional. You've been doing this for a good long time. Is there any question that you haven't been asked that you'd really like to answer, within FCC guidelines, please?
I can't think.
Or
I can't
subject
think of
that
one.
You've never
I've been asked everything, Allison. Honestly, how many years have I been doing interviews? Mm-hmm. And I love doing interviews, by the way. But I can't think of an answer to that one.
If only I had a little more time. Well, you'll have to come back. It's a challenge for me. The gauntlet has been thrown down to try to figure out a question Barry Manilow has not been asked.
All right, if I think of one, I'll text you something, and then we can start there. All right?
That's a date. That's a deal. Barry Manilow will be at Radio City Music Hall on May 31st through June 4th. And on May 1st, This One's For You, the music of Barry Manilow, the New York Pop's 40th birthday gala. Barry, it has been a delight speaking with you today.
Thanks, Allison. Same here. Thanks a lot.
Let's go out on Barry's favorite tune.
Come into